don't miss the first part. Now, what were we going to say?
About
friendship.
Yeah, well, I didn't consider myself an artist or a sculptor. I was a stone carver, which came about naturally because Donald had a damaged heart. He couldn't swing a heavy hammer, even for a few minutes, let alone all day. So that's where I came in on the stone, which lasted over nearly 30 years altogether, stone carving.
Well, Michelangelo called himself a stone carver because he came from a family of stone.
Yes, but that was marble. Yes. Donald didn't consider that marble. Didn't consider that a stone.
Oh, really?
No.
Did he never do anything in marble?
Oh, yes, a number of things. The Primavera out here is in marble.
Doesn't it take a special technique, though, for the finishing of marble, for the person who's doing the finishing? To get the crystalline forms to glisten and not dull the marble
molecules. Well, that's just the way you finish them. If you want it polished, that is a complete thing. And it polishes just to put on the stone, actually, because they take tin oxide and oxalic acid with water and rub it round and round and round, you know, with the hand. And you get a beautiful gloss to it.
Well,
but most marbles are not done that way. Just fine sandpaper.
I see.
And that's where they get that glisten to them.
Well, I think that's a great deal of artistry in that. And that's.
But I started to speak about not being an artist. I didn't consider myself so. But Donald's, his closest friend in the sculpture world was Paul Manship, and they were very fond of each other, and we went on many trips, field trips, in Italy when we were there, and he was there, he went over there at least twice a year to Italy, and he knew every place to go, and he spoke of us as sculptors. Well, I said, I'm not a sculptor, I'm just a stone carver. Well, he said, you carve these big figures, don't you? Well, he said, you're a sculptor.
Of course you are. And you are considered so by everybody who knows you.
I thought if Manship thought so.
Well, maybe you were. I think you're overly modest, Dana. I think other people think very much of you as an artist. Because had you not been present with your abilities and your aesthetic sense that could carry through Donald's ideas, Donald couldn't have achieved what he achieved.
Well, he wouldn't have done anything in hard stone,
No. But he would have always been an artist, for sure, in some phase, but it would not have been able to do these magnificent, monumental things. Anything else you would like to say in regard to that particular phase? Of modesty?
No, I don't want to give you a tour of Italy or anything like that.
But I'm going to ask you a few questions now that I think that most artists can and want and do answer for me. And then, what do you think of the art trends in the United States between 1960 and 1980?
Well, I don't find them interesting at all. Especially the extremely modern things are either chopped out with a hatchet with no meaning to them, or pieces of scrap iron or welded together, those things, because those are things, you know, that you hesitate to touch because they don't look comfortable. And Donald said that a piece invites handling, touching. Well, he says that's much more of a successful piece of sculpture than one that you don't want to touch.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they forbid that in all galleries.
Yes, I've always thought it was a shame because I'd see children go into galleries and they just automatically want to touch. And if I were the gallery director, I'd say children can touch, adults can't. Mm-hmm. I mean, because adults have learned to restrain themselves, but children, I feel, should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had an exhibition a number of years ago, I think 2 years in succession, for the blind.
Mm-hmm. I remember that program.
Of course, you can't get much out of a painting with.
No.
Even if you could handle it, or you couldn't do anything, get anything out of it, but they allowed them, that group of people, to touch and handle the sculpture, which they enjoyed very much.
Oh, of course.
And someone that worked there at the gallery said that the thing that they loved to handle most of all was that jade thunder.
I know.
There's nothing that'll hurt that.
No, not a thing. Well, I think it gives sort of a, do you say patina or patina, which is correct?
Either one.
All right, I say patina. To the Moses in Italy. And you know that huge, huge magnificent piece of sculpture. And the knee, I remember, is just been touched so many times that the color, the texture, everything is different about that knee as a result. And in that little church, they don't mind if people touch Moses' knee.
And there's a figure of an animal at the straw market there in Florence. I don't know whether you've seen that one, this big boar.
Mm-hmm, I have seen it.
And everybody has touched that boar's nose, so it's bright, shining new metal, and the others has a patination on it.
That's wonderful. Well, do you think that, are there any signs of a reversal of sculptural concepts? Have you seen anything that would indicate that we're going to get away from that sort of collective junk?
I don't think we're going to do that, not real soon.
Uh-huh. Well, are there schools in the United States that teach sculpture, or what has brought on this situation where sculpture's within? Is it inadequate education, or what brings it on?
Well, they all jumped on the bandwagon. They found out what people were interested in, what they'll buy, and they get in and do that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a number of people like David Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a blacksmith or some such, some trade like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did this just for fun, and it went over so well that he just dropped everything else and did that kind of sculpture.
I
and made himself a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And he and Donna were on a sculpture jury in Metropolitan Museum 1 year. And they were looking over photographs because they didn't have the sculptures to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Too heavy to send and be rejected and sent back. And he was looking at this picture, and Donald says, you're not interested in that kind of sculpture, and that's the sort of thing you'd like, is it? Why? He says, it's cheesecake. And he says, it's not the thing I do, but he says, I like it.
Oh, I see. Well, there's a new, the new wing on the National Museum in Washington, D.C. has a whole little white room about as big as this living room, and it is all wrought iron farm equipment. They have it displayed very handsomely in white room, and everything is black, and they have lights that project so that you get shadows, but it's the installation that makes it so beautiful. You could hardly bring one of those pieces in this environment and expect it to fit. It just absolutely wouldn't. But don't you think that
In its own setting,
it worked very well. How do you think these trends have affected the artists in San Diego?
Well,
from the 60s through to the 80s.
There are a few people around that are doing more or less traditional work.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Morgan in the park, I don't know whether you know him or not.
No.
He was a student of Donald's for one summer session. And it's cheesecake, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he does it very well.
Mm-hmm.
Donald never considered it fine art, but it's certainly the kind of art that's popular.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, would you care to speculate on those artists you think have achieved their goals most successfully in San Diego, the San Diego artists?
Well, I'm not too familiar with San Diego.
Oh, I'm not speaking, Dana, of this particular school now of the 60s to the 80s. I'm thinking of the artists, which I know, for instance, Dan Dickey. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm speaking of that school because I feel Dan achieved, and I'm sure you feel he achieved. I'm speaking of that period of art in San Diego. Whom of that period do you think has achieved? And you can come on up to the present day if you want to. Some of the people that you feel have been outstanding and contributed to San Diego art?
No, I don't think very many of them have been outstanding.
Not in the same sense that Donald had. I think Donald, of course, and you had commissions that were well, far and beyond what the average artist in San Diego will ever get.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of anybody that achieved that amount of success. But didn't you think, what did you think of Dan's work?
I was not particularly fond of Dan.
Oh, you were? No. You were? Uh-huh.
I like Dan personally, but...
you didn't care for his work?
Not too much.
Mm-hmm. Well,
some of the things, you know, I like.
Uh-huh.
But they were in the minority.
Mm-hmm. What about Gene Friggett?
I'm not too familiar with his work.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does such... I thought you might be interested...
I don't,
you
think
say
much
you
of,
don't go.
I don't think much of Jackson's work.
Everett Jackson, mm-hmm. No.
I like Everett also.
As a person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I'm not really taking it anywhere.
Uh-huh, I see. Well, now what did you think of Belle Barrichello's work?
Some of her work is excellent. I think she comes out at her best in the... block prints.
Mm-hmm. I think she does too. And then what about Jim Hubbell?
I'm not familiar with him.
You're not?
No.
To me, he's probably the most outstanding sculptor in our community.
Mm-hmm.
They honored him the other night.
Mm-hmm. I
uh-huh. Did you go by any chance?
No, I didn't go.
Uh-huh.
I got the invitation, but I didn't go.
Well, it was...
if I had known him, I would have been...
Mm-hmm.
Made
mm-hmm.
more of an effort.
Mm-hmm. But
at that time I wasn't going out at all because I was hardly able to walk there for a couple of weeks.
Do you attribute that to the stooping down and using
no,
tools?
No, it's arthritis.
It is just arthritis,
mm-hmm.
But don't you think probably it's the use of the knees having to sit on them and
mm-hmm.
use tools? No,
whatever. No, I never got into any position that was
uncomfortable. Well,
I tried to do it the easy way.
Well, I remember someone saying about, I can't remember just how it came about, the idea that of using electrical tools was not cricket in sculpture. And then on the same time, I remember Laura Andreessen, one of our best potters in the United States, she said, quite frankly, I don't care what tool to use as long as the end result is good. And I remember telling Donald that, and he said, I so agree.
Well, akin to that, I remember when we were doing the Aztec at State College.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we knew nothing about working hard stone, but we got some old books saying just how you did granites and
mm-hmm.
Hard stones like that. And we got these tools.
Mm-hmm.
And our arcade tools, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had worked for 7 months on this piece. And the old quarryman that we got the stone from came down one time. He came down several times, but this one time, Donald said, how do you think we're getting along, John? He says, working with the tools that you're working with, I says, I think you're doing a fine job. But he says, if you want to get this done in your lifetime, you'll have to have pneumatic tools. It just takes too long.
Of course. That's what's so astounding when you think of Michelangelo's work and the prolificness of the man.
Well, that's marble again.
Yeah, it's easier to work on.
It's easier to work on
uh-huh.
than hardwood.
Uh-huh, I see. So he was able to produce a lot and paint at the same time. Did Donald ever do any painting of any kind? He never did.
He painted first.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. He was taking watercolor lessons, and he became sick in Seattle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Got rheumatic fever, and it settled in his heart, as it most generally does. And they didn't expect him to come out of it at all. But he did, and he never went back to painting again.
Did you ever do any painting?
No.
No?
But Dora, when he was married to Dora Boswell, she wanted him to paint.
And she did those wonderful flowers, didn't she?
She done all kinds of things.
Yeah.
She's an outstanding artist in California.
I know. She's one I'm going to interview.
Oh.
I'm going over to Palm Springs and interview her.
She doesn't live right in Palm Springs.
Pardon?
It isn't right
in
Palm
Springs. No, it's near. Well, Ivan Messenger knows where it is. And
yeah.
I went over to interview Ivan. And he's going to, so I haven't met her, you see. So Ivan is going to make the arrangements for me. But I think it would be nice, don't you, to interview her?
Oh, of course. She stopped by here for only 15 minutes. Someone was bringing her, and they were taking her from Los Angeles. And from there, they were going to take her to Everett Jackson, Everett and Eileen. And she said, well, swing by Pacific Beach. She said, I want to make a stop there. So she couldn't stop very long, not more than 15 or 20 minutes. And we just stood out there in the street and talked and talked and talked until she just had to leave. How she has changed. She used to be buxom, you know, very well padded. And here she was, a little old lady with a bun on the top of her head. Looked kind of bird like, yes. But I didn't think that anybody would change as much as she had. I've got a lot of pictures of her, snapshots.
Did she ever remarry? Dana, I want to thank you. Are there any more things that I have missed that you think that you'd like to talk about in regard to yourself before we conclude this?
What to say about myself? Well, I was just an extra arm for Donald. He was doing his work. And the reason I did it mostly was because Donald's bad heart. If he had been thoroughly robust, I'm sure we would never have become as close as we were.
You would just have always been friends, but never. You started out as friends, and your trips to the desert. Was it to the desert that you took your?
So much.
And you'd work straight through the entire week and. For the entire month, and then take off for a respite and renew your
And Don told me one time, he said it's on these trips to the desert that I get most of my ideas. It's like on a trip home from South Dakota where we were visiting his father and stepmother. And we stopped at Mesa Verde. We always wanted to stop there. We'd never been there. This trip we did.
Good.
And that's where he got that idea. The summer rain.
That's a lovely piece. Well, I must thank you. And I've enjoyed this so much. And I think you're the first one we've used a second tape on. At least
part of it, anyhow.
Yes. We've got part of it. Oh, we've got almost 300 on it. But thank you very, very much. And if you do want to hear the tape back now, I'll be glad to play part of it back to you because you haven't changed it.
I'm wondering to see how the voices came out.
All right.